You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Now, thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups, all swarming the Virginia state capitol in Richmond. They're protesting state bills there that would limit handgun purchases. The bills would also require background checks as well. NBC's Cal Perry is on the ground there in Richmond. What's the scene right now, Cal? How are things?
Thousands of people, as you said, heavily armed. I'll get out of the way and give you an idea of what we're seeing here. We are outside the enclosed area around the Capitol where guns are banned today. And so what we're seeing...
January the 21st, 2020. That's one of the reports from the leftist media yesterday in Virginia. The leftist media really pushing that there's going to be a crowd of Second Amendment people showing up with guns, armed to the teeth, ready to open fire. And they're so disappointed. There was no violence. I don't think there was a single arrest from anyone. Even the Antifa people didn't materialize. And yet, Democrat Governor Ralph Northam, you remember Ralph Northam, if you remember him wearing his blackface in the past, but now says, well, that was then, I'm a Democrat, you can't hold that against me now. But he's suggesting and confident that his security decisions regarding the Virginia Capitol grounds de-escalated the situation, even though there was no real escalation ahead of it. All of this dealing with that Second Amendment rally that took place yesterday in Virginia at the state capitol. Yes, there were some folks who showed up displaying weapons, AR-15s and so forth. I'm not in favor of doing that at these rallies and events. And yet there were probably many others carrying concealed weapons and had them on their body. But the reporter saying, oh, they're all heavily armed. They were not all heavily armed. And the other point they were making, a group of white nationalists, there were more than white nationalists in it. If I'm wrong about that, well, apparently there are a lot of black Americans who are now members of the White Nationalist Party, because many black Americans were at that rally as well, defending their right to own a gun. If you recall, once you gave black Americans a chance to have a gun, the lynchings went down in the South. But we're going to get into all that in more detail in the second hour. I do have a lot of material to cover for you today. I mean, we have the impeachment now underway, officially underway, starting just right now. And, of course, the bickering and battling is already going back and forth as to who's going to do what, who's not going to do this, who's trying to rush it, who's trying to stall it, who wants new witnesses, who doesn't. We're going to get into all that for you. And what should we do at this point? Should we rush through this thing to say, be done with it, dismiss it? Can we? Or do we need to have a full trial and gut everything out on the Senate floor? Now, how is this impeachment at this stage affecting Trump? Well, we're going to get word from his campaign manager as to where all of this has been going when it comes to the Trump campaign. And Hillary making some nasty, nasty comments about Bernie Sanders. We had heard similar comments back in 2016. I'll take you back to that date when she made those remarks. But now her latest remarks. Nobody likes Bernie. Oh, in the meantime, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she doesn't like any Democrats. No Democrats are worthy of her support because they're not far enough left. And then we have a word of a $3 million bounty. A $3 million bounty is being offered to anyone who would kill President Trump. I'll have more details on that. And, of course, a lot of folks unfortunately, would probably try to do it for less than that, but if there weren't already death threats against him, watch this escalate. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have to admit something to you before I wrap up today's program. You know, they had the Conor McGregor Ultimate Fight Championship this last weekend against Cowboy. And I'm pretty sure that I could take Ultimate Fighter Conor McGregor. I was pretty sure I could beat him. I made a decision that said, not so fast there, Conors and Cowboy. Oh, and you'll want to hear what Conor McGregor has to say about President Trump. This is an Irishman. He doesn't hold anything back. We've got a lot to cover for you over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat, the impeachment trial beginning. And the way CNN titled it on their webpage, the historic gravity of a president on trial. Well, I'll grant you it's historic and gravity. The historic laugh of this president on trial. Because you got nothing. You don't have any impeachable offenses. You have a abuse of power. We still don't know what that is. And a lot of presidents would be guilty of that if you're trying to define it the way I think they're trying. And we have obstruction of Congress, which again, is not in the Constitution. And again, every president has obstructed Congress at some point or another. That's the way they do things. It's the check and balance system, you know. But it's underway. It's underway, and Senator Kevin McCarthy, he's saying, you know what this is? What this is when you get down to it? This is basically a nightmare.
It's not really politics, it's a nightmare. This is what they campaigned on. This is their agenda. Remember, they selected their committee chairs based upon who they thought would be best to handle impeachment with Nadler. You got a Hakeem Jeffries, who is the number three in their upper echelons of their leadership. He voted for impeachment a year ago before the phone call even took place. So this is all that they're about. And you were correct about the contrast. Here's the president overseas promoting America, and they're going to be over in the Senate promoting this nightmare even further. But it's such a weak case, they're going to start their whole argument out about this case is weak, we need to change it. There is no change that needs to take place. If it's based upon the phone call, we all have the transcript. We don't need a much time to go through it. You know what was said on both sides. There's nothing in there that's impeachable. Let's get back doing to what the American public wants us to do, the business at hand.
That's right. Kevin McCarthy, I misspoke. I said senator. I meant I've got so many things in front of me right now. He's the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy. And talking about how the Democrats were pushing this forward, and now they're saying, well, we don't have enough, so we want to do more. And already the Democrat impeachment managers, you might as well call them prosecutors because that's what they really are. They're prosecuting Trump during this case, but they're called managers. They're already claiming that Senate Majority Leader McConnell's trial rules are rigged against them already, and they say anything to rush this impeachment trial of Trump would be wrong, and we want more witnesses, and we want to bring them forward, and we should have a right to do so. Now, here's the issue we've been through before. Before I get away from that point about Democrats saying we want more witnesses, we want it to happen over a long period of time, we want to bring everything out, we want to bring new witnesses in. I just found a quote that popped up from a GOP senator that says 20 Democrats might be quick to end this. And I know what he's talking about. We're talking about Texas Senator John Cornyn suggesting that those Democrat senators running for president may reach a bipartisan agreement with the Republicans pushing to wrap the trial up quickly. He said, I would think the senators running for nomination for president would like to be on the ground for Iowa caucuses February the 3rd. You might find bipartisan agreement. We ought to get this done, get it done right, but get it done as efficiently as possible. Now, if that's true, and I think he's probably right, because we've talked about this before, that you're going to see several of these senators that are still in running, Bennett, Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar, they don't want to be locked down in that Senate. They're not allowed to have their phones with them. They can't bring text devices. They cannot communicate to anyone outside unless, as they do, I think Rand Paul suggested yesterday, I'm going to try blinking my eyes a certain way so someone watching me will know I'm trying to send a message. If that's what they're going to do, good luck with that. But the bottom line is they don't want to be in there, because while they're tied up in there, Biden and Bloomberg and Buttigieg are free to roam about the country collecting votes. So what about this thing about could we just dismiss it? I think I saw a quote from, I think it was Lindsey Graham. Senator Graham says, we don't really have enough votes to dismiss this at this point. Now, Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard Law Professor Emeritus, being brought in as a constitutional representative for President Trump in this Senate impeachment trial. And he said, I'm not going to be ruling on anything. I'm not trying to advise and give direction on anything. All I'm there for is to talk about the constitutional aspect of the law. He's already said there's nothing in here that constitutes impeachment. But what about impeaching? Would it be a good idea to dismiss immediately? And when that question was raised of Dershowitz, well, here's his response.
I think that that's the right way to go. This is a motion to dismiss case in which, if it were a criminal case and a person were charged, say, with dishonesty, and then there were a list of things he did, the first thing you do is make a motion to dismiss, because dishonesty isn't a crime. And obstruction of Congress is not an impeachable offense. And abuse of power is not an impeachable offense. So a motion to dismiss in a perfect world would be ideal, but do the American public want to see an end to the trial so quickly? I think that becomes a political issue.
It is going to be a political issue, and it's a political issue on both sides. And it's a pressing issue for those Democrats who don't want to be locked down inside the Senate for this period of days, which includes Saturday. Well, you're not going to be happy. A lot of senators are not going to be happy about that, because normally they don't work on Saturday, you know. I'm a U.S. senator. I don't work on Saturday unless I choose to. Well, in this case, they don't have a choice. You have to be there. You have to be in chambers Saturday. Word coming now that they're still waiting to officially convene. As about 2 minutes ago, they haven't officially convened. Now, they're in the process. They got more things behind the scenes they're still working through. And again, I'm sure one of the issues is do we want to drag this out? Do we want more witnesses? Whether or not the Democrats bring them in, and Senator Ted Cruz has said, if they're going to bring new witnesses in, if they're going to be allowed to do that, then I want reciprocity for the Republicans, that we bring a witness for everyone they bring in that was not part of the House case. Now, we heard a moment ago from Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader. The Democrats realize we don't have a strong case. We don't have any case, so we need to kind of shore it up. We want to kind of redo it here. This is not where you do that. This is not where you rebuild your case. This is where you present your evidence that you have. And if it wasn't part of the original case, it's not likely it's going to be included now. But they may decide to go forward. Senator Lindsey Graham saying, I don't think you have enough votes to automatically dismiss it, even though you heard Alan Dershowitz say that'd be the best thing to do. If there's no case, just dismiss it, move on. And then you have those among the Democrats and Republicans who say, no, let's see this out. Let's do it. And again, I vacillate. On one hand, I say, get her done, just blow it out of the water. It means nothing. Or, yeah, let's bring them in and let's disembowel these witnesses that Democrats are presenting as evidence and gut them right there on the floor and let all the blood and everything, the lies leak out, and so we see everything. And then we will bring in Hunter Biden and do the same with him. If they want to go that route, I'm for it. And you know who else is for it? It's not just Larry Connors. I mean, I'd be more than willing to go off on my own and do it anyway. But also, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott.
The president has not had an opportunity to respond publicly to the impeachment process. Remember that the House went through the entire process without allowing the president to position himself from a defensive perspective. That is just kangaroo court if there ever was one. For the first time, the American people have a chance to have the president's team rebut the House's case. That is necessary for everyone to have the type of illumination on what actually happened. I think it's a very important step. 24 hours for the House to present their arguments and then 24 hours for the president's team to pick it apart. I am actually looking forward to hearing that rebuttal.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in line with him. Now, he is the junior U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Lindsey Graham's a senior. Yeah, I want to point out something about Tim Scott. The only reason I'm going to do that is because I want you to hear from Maxine Waters in a moment. And I want you to understand, while a lot of folks will have you believe no black is really supporting Trump, they're just puppets. They're just puppets. They don't really have any standing anywhere, and they're bought and paid for. Senator Tim Scott, 54 years of age, was appointed by Governor Nikki Haley in 2013 to replace retiring Jim DeMint. And then later in a special election 2014, Tim Scott was elected to a full term. A black man from South Carolina serving as a U.S. Senator of South Carolina. And he says, president hasn't had a chance to present his case. I think the public wants to hear that case. They want to hear the rest of it. And again, the other part of this is, all right, well, let's just don't do it here. Let's go ahead and get this thing over with and move on. But, of course, if we rush it, then you're going to have folks say, well, we didn't get to have a full hearing, and you guys are hiding something. And you don't really get the president, quote, acquitted. If the charges are dropped, then everybody will still say, well, he's still guilty. Of course, the other side of that is those of that mindset are going to think he's guilty anyway, regardless, even if it's acquittal. Well, it's all rigged. They're already saying that. And don't forget, this is not going to be their one and only final run to the goalpost, at least the goalpost they've set. Let me take you back to words of Congresswoman Maxine Waters, which we played for you yesterday. And if you think this is going to all be wrapped up whenever they finish this, quote, Senate trial, here's Congresswoman Waters.
Let me just say this. All of us have the responsibility for oversight. Yes, I have subpoenaed documents from Deutsche Bank. Yes, I am concerned about the financial affairs of the President of the United States, including money laundering, and I'm continuing with that. As a matter of fact, the subpoenas that I have issued that's gone through the lower courts are now going to be heard at the Supreme Court in March. We will not stop. Whether or not that leads to another impeachment activity, I don't know. But I know we must continue with the work that our constituents have elected us to come to Congress to do.
And as I said yesterday, this is not what they elected you to do. But so be it. You heard her say, we will not stop. We will not stop. If they dismiss this today, they're not going to stop. If they go ahead and have a full session and allow the Democrats to bring in more witnesses and Republicans bring in more witnesses, and it drags on for a month, this will not stop them from doing it again. And the other point being here, all the things she just listed about money laundering and seizing bank records, when you've got the Biden case right in front of you, that Hunter Biden was taking money for Burisma, an energy company, when Daddy's name got in the position, and Daddy's really against energy companies and coal and go all green, but it was good enough green to get green into Hunter's hands at the time. Why wouldn't you look at that? If you want to go down this road with Trump, why would you not go with that? Well, Larry, come on. They're not going to look in their own house. You're right. So what kind of effect is all this going to have on Donald Trump? What kind of effect has it had already? We've been down this road to some extent with you, but I want you to hear from his campaign manager. As this thing begins to fire off today, I want you to hear what the campaign manager is predicting. Stand by, please. Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before. I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Hey, I'd mentioned the last segment about if you want to do some investigations, Maxine Waters, and corruption and money laundering. Of course, you can start with your own house. But aside from that, you could look at the Biden story, the Ukraine's Biden story, and also had links to Clinton's and Bernie Sanders. We're going to get into that before we wrap up this hour. I'll come back on that in a moment. But as I said, going into this break, in the previous break, what effect is all of this impeachment nonsense having on President Trump? Brad Parscale is the campaign manager for Donald Trump for 2020. Now, in 2016, he was a digital consultant, political aide, who oversaw the 2016 campaign. And now he's, of course, has been for some time now promoted to be the campaign manager. So he's appearing on one of the networks, and they're asking flat out, how is this affecting Donald Trump? I love his answer.
He is so far ahead of where he was in 2016 against Clinton. He's so far ahead of these other candidates in fundraising and in numbers and what we're going to do. And their policies are so far left. The American people are not going to want them. Right now, the American people have tuned out because, honestly, what's happened with impeachment and everything else, they've shut down. They're enjoying the Super Bowl. They're watching football games, enjoying this country's great economy. They're not sitting around watching this stuff. From the campaign side, our numbers have gone up. I told the president this right out of the gate. I said, if they try to impeach you and they try to do this for doing nothing wrong at all, you're the one that's going to become victorious out of this. It's going to create lots of fundraising, which we've already proven with over $200 million in the bank between our committees. Our numbers have gone up. And the independents see this farce and this hoax. And I'm telling you, the American people don't like a bamboozle. They don't like a kangaroo court, and they don't like this stuff.
I don't think they do either. I just don't think they do. I think he's right. Most of you could care less about all this. I appreciate you listening to this program and some of the points I'm making about it, but really, I'm kind of like you. I wouldn't care about it except for all the nonsense that's around it, and I'm looking at how we can use it to Trump's advantage. Because there's nothing in here that's damning or damaging to him. Not one single thing. It's just more blah, 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 blah from the Democrats, and they have nothing substantiated. And every time you pin them down on a specific, they say, well, I need another witness. We need to call another witness. And they're already shouting out that McConnell is trying to rig the trial rules. They're not going to do what they want him to do. He's the head of it. And they can, if he gave them control of it, if he gave them control of it, they still wouldn't be fully happy until they impeach Donald Trump. They had their shot in the House. They issued their articles of impeachment based on two of the most flimsy, non-constitutional allegations, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. There's no crime there. One Democrat senator quoted a moment ago, this is a very serious day. Yeah, but I'm kind of laughing to an extent. Oh, and by the way, President Trump, where's he? He's in Switzerland, and they're using this trial date again, trying to shoot arrows at him while he's trying to represent the U.S. abroad. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, I was talking about how you believe or what you think should happen with this impeachment trial. Should we drag it out or dismiss it if possible? Just be done with it. There's a new survey out, just released, Monmouth University survey. 57% of those questioned believe the House managers, prosecutors, should be able to present new evidence. 37% say it should be limited to evidence as part of the impeachment inquiry already presented. And, of course, allowing new evidence is split along partisan lines. 87% of Democrats say let it in, 24% of Republicans. And I'm not so sure that some of those 24% of Republicans are in favor of bringing new evidence so they can also jump in on the Hunter Biden story and Hillary Clinton story. We'll see. We'll see, but that's the latest poll. Now, President Trump at this time is in Davos, Switzerland, for a World Economic Forum's annual meeting. It's the annual meeting. It's nothing that wasn't already planned. It's the 50th World Economic Forum, and he delivers a speech. And here's the way it was headlined by one of the news agencies covering it. Trump gave a rambling speech at Davos touting U.S. economic achievements without mentioning the elephant in the room. First of all, a rambling speech. In other words, they've already characterized it that it wasn't very good. Because he changes points, moves too fast for you. You got ADDD, you can't keep up. I don't know. Bottom line is, gave a rambling speech. That's an editorial approach. You do know that. But then went on to say, he did it all without mentioning the elephant in the room, his impeachment trial. So he doesn't bring up the impeachment trial in a speech with world leaders for the World Economic Forum. Big deal, one way or the other. I wouldn't care if he brought it up, but he chooses not to bring it up, and they're trying to make it look like he's hiding it. How in the hell do you think you could hide it? He can't hide it. It's known all over the world it's underway. But they want to talk about he didn't mention the elephant in the room, as if they were all waiting. He's got to say something about it. He didn't. Tough luck. Got to write another story. Well, before I do, I'm going to add that he ignored the elephant in the room. What did he do? I love part of what he did from what I've seen. 30-minute speech, rambling, whatever they want to call it. He talked about recent trade deals with China and Mexico and what he's done to improve the U.S. economy. And he said, today I'm proud to declare the U.S. is in the midst of an economic boom, the likes of which the world has never seen before. China is also watching this. They can't say that. They've been having a rough patch because of the tariffs, and he did deal with that. He said, our relationship with China has right now probably never been better. We went through a rough patch with them. And he also talked about how the Senate passing a rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement, known as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, giving him another major trade victory. And he also pointed out during the speech, I guess this is where they consider he's rambling, that he referred to saving historically black colleges and universities. They didn't want to hear that he had done that, I guess. And he talked about domestic U.S. economy and how it's been growing. He's there representing the United States. Yes, tout what we're doing. Tell the world how great we're doing and what we're doing. But, of course, the naysayers and the never-Trumpers, the attackers, the hounds are going to continue to nip at him constantly. The president made a point to state, America has gained more than 7 million jobs since he was elected. 7 million. How many of those countries listening to that were thinking, wow, I wish we could get that? And he pointed out the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years in our nation. And again, I'm wondering how many of those world leaders are listening to that thinking, boy, I wish we had that. And also he talked about rising wages and household income. He points this out, and this flies in the face of the socialist and the communist and the socialist Democrats and the socialist communist when he stated a pro-worker, pro-citizen, pro-family agenda demonstrates how a nation can thrive when its communities, its companies, its government work together for the good of the whole nation. That's not what Bernie and the other leftists would have you believe. They would think you can't succeed unless Big Brother is doing it for you. Oh, God, that harkens me all the way back to Obama, saying if you have a company and you built it and you put it all together and you spent your long hours and then you didn't really build that company. Like you didn't sacrifice for your company to put your own business on the road and get it going? The president added this, and this is again going to get him a knock on the head from those who don't like him. He said a nation's highest duty is to its own citizens. Now, those sitting there listening at the World Economic Forum, listening to this remark, were probably thinking, well, if I'm a socialist, communist-type nation, I'm taking care of the citizens in the way I think we should, and they're getting what we think they should. But this president of this country So the highest duty for a nation is actually to its citizens. He added, honoring this truth is the only way to build faith and confidence in the market system. Only when governments put their own people first will people be fully invested in their national futures. And, of course, you watch them rush out, the leftist shouting once again that he's a leftist. He's clearly a leftist. I mean, that he's a nationalist. He's a nationalist. The leftists will be calling that out left and right. This president's a nationalist. In other words, if it's a bad thing, what they want you to believe, that if you believe in this nation, if you support this nation, and this is what the nation you want to see survive because it's your nation, then you must be a racist. You got to be a bigot against all the other countries. No, I'm not. I don't wish them well. In fact, if they all get like us, they'll be better off. They could learn from us. And most of the people in those countries would love to leave their nation to come to this country. Yeah, but Larry, didn't he call some countries assholes? Yes, he did. And some of them are assholes, and they know it. And the people in those countries know it. They want out. They would love to get out. But right now, many of them have no option. Oh, they got their world leaders showing up at this Switzerland conference and taking care of their needs and the needs of those most around them. And they're going to continue to criticize this president. They're going to make remarks about him. They're going to claim that he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to the whole issue of environmental issues. But they don't either, really. They have been trying to peddle falsehoods on that for a long, long time. And now here's some proof how far off they are on their predictions. If you believe Bernie, if you believe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Warren and all the other leftists, our climate is going downhill so fast. This is an immediate crisis. Immediate. Seas are going to rise, flooding our towns. I guess no one told Obama before he put $14 million into an estate at Martha's Vineyard that the sea water would be over the top of the roof in 5 years or less. Or he just doesn't believe it either. But now they have found a 1,200-year-old granite slab where the Vikings were predicting climate change 1,200 years ago. And they're talking, they've deciphered some of the writings on this, and they say it was foreseeing a climate crisis similar to weather conditions that had happened nearly 300 years earlier. So they were writing this in granite. We have a climate crisis. Those were the Vikings writing this. 1,200 years ago. And they were referring to something that had happened somewhere around 500 A.D. that led to apparently one of the worst times to be alive, the worst year, 536 A.D. The planet population ravaged by disease, famine, a mysterious fog that covered a significant portion of the globe for 18 months. And one professor says the world didn't recover until 640 A.D. So then one of the Vikings decided to write a warning in granite, a climate change. We need to be ready. That was the original Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. I didn't know they came from Vikings. I didn't know that. So, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this new book coming out, supposedly going to gut Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and Bernie. There's some interesting material. I'll share some of it with you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter @LarryConnersUSA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we have this new book coming out by Peter Schweitzer, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. It deals with the Bidens. It deals with the Clintons. And, of course, he had a previous book, Clinton Cash. But it also gets into Bernie as well, by the way. And, in fact, one part of the book, let me see here. I've got a lot of material to go through here for you. And, again, I cannot independently verify this. This is his book and his statement. So Peter Schweitzer either gets the credit or the blame if it's wrong. I'm just saying that. But in reference to Bernie, Schweitzer, in discussing this on Sean Hannity last night, said that Bernie, over the course of his 30-plus years in public office, funneled huge sums of money to his family. That includes hiring family members, even when it was not justified in the Burlington city governments. But more specifically, the 2016 campaign, there was this mysterious media buying company called Old Town Media that was set up. They funneled $83 million through this media buying company located in a house on a cul-de-sac in suburban Virginia. Had no website, no presence whatsoever, run by two of Bernie Sanders' wife's friends. Hillary's going to love that because she's also denouncing Bernie. We'll go get to that in the second hour. Bernie's not going to like it, obviously. And the whole thing about Biden again, Schweitzer also again pointing out that Hunter Biden coming under scrutiny for his business links to Ukraine, that natural gas firm, Burisma, when Daddy was vice president. And he's also talking about that Biden forged other business deals with individuals and entities tied with the governments of Russia. There's a Russian collusion story again. Anybody paying attention? China, Kazakhstan, all that supposedly scoring him hundreds of millions of dollars. This guy has no sense whatsoever. Apparently a dope head for a period of time, and for that I hope he got treatment. But I don't see giving him millions of dollars for his treatment and because he's had a rough time. But he got it because of Daddy was vice president. Now, where do you think some additional interest was placed by those countries? And what did they expect to get from Joe Pro Quo Biden? Again, this is all part of the book titled Profiles in Corruption. Talking about how these deals were being made. And they apparently have evidence that a Morgan Stanley investment account, I should say, from which Hunter regularly got money, shows money arriving from mysterious sources around the world. One is a $142,000 deposit from an oligarch-controlled group in Russia. So he's getting all these monies while Daddy's vice president. And he got the job. And he admitted that, well, yeah, my name probably helped. You think? And Schweitzer says that it's no coincidence. All the Biden family deals took place while Biden was vice president. And he also dealt with Frank Biden. He's the youngest brother of former President Joe Biden. His business interest, benefiting from millions of dollars in taxpayer loans to Caribbean nations during the Obama years. He points out that Frank Biden set his sights on the Caribbean in 2009 as the Obama administration began repairing U.S. relationships with Costa Rica. Part of that had trying to make up for the difficulty that occurred when President George W. Bush called out Costa Rica, saying, you're not doing enough to help deal with drug trafficking. So here Obama decided, let's try to patch that up. And Frank Biden rushing in saying, let me help, just write me a big check. So Barack Obama trying to mend fences in the Caribbean. And here came Frank Biden, Joe Biden's youngest brother, I can help. Shortly after the new administration took office, Frank Biden began scouting real estate opportunities in Costa Rica. Isn't it interesting how all this comes to be? I know many of you had the attitude, these folks go into Congress or into Senate, they barely have enough money to keep the car running, and they finish up their term, and they have a buco load of money, and all their relatives do as well. And that's not just limited to Democrats. But in this particular case, it's focusing directly on the Bidens and Bernie and others. It's going to be a blockbuster book, no doubt about it. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about what if you had a gun rally, a Second Amendment rally, and you expected people to show up with guns, and you were just almost sure they'd be shooting each other before it's over with. And there wasn't even a pop of a firecracker. And then a bounty, a $3 million bounty to the one who can kill President Trump. And we'll talk about Hillary dissing Bernie Sanders. And I'll tell you how I thought I could take out Ultimate Fighter Conor McGregor. Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't drinking anything. I was convinced I could do it. I had a plan. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.